Hello, it's Wednesday, July the 14th, and we are back again in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Yesterday, we saw a depiction of revival, God pouring water on thirsty ground, pouring out his spirit upon your offspring. And I wondered then what we now need to sort of think about a little more, whether Isaiah was thinking about something in his immediate future, or was he perhaps depicting in prophetic and poetic language the returning exiles from Babylon coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls of the city under the ministries of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the evident revival that occurred during those days. One thinks, for example, of Nehemiah chapter 9, when he seems to have been preaching for the better part of 5 or 6 hours, and people were still wanting more. Let me pick it up here in verse 5. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand the Lord's and name himself by the name of Israel. And what he's seeing is a revival, a mini revival. What he's seeing is the return from Babylon. What he's seeing is Pentecost. What he's seeing is the growth and spread of the church as one after another confesses his name. Now in verse 8, he says to them, fear not, nor be afraid, for have I not told you from of old and declared it, and you are my witnesses? Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. And that leads into another one of these fairly lengthy sections on idolatry, which goes all the way down to verse 20. And he mocks man's perpetual desire to make gods of his own imagination. Calvin's famous statement that man's mind is a perpetual factory of idols. You know, it's sad, really, because Isaiah is facing a situation where there is worship, but it's only outward worship. It's not real worship. Their heart isn't in it. And they aren't thirsty. They're not enjoying the worship of God. Friedrich Nietzsche in the 19th century famously said that he never saw his grandparents, who were weekly attenders at church, he never saw his grandparents enjoying themselves. And because of that, he gave up Christianity. He said no to it. He was one of the great influencers of the 19th century, leading to the skepticism of the 20th century and eventually to postmodernity and to the mess that we're in right now. So once again, this fairly lengthy derision of idolatry, and then towards the end of the chapter, remember these things. I have blotted out your transgressions. Verse 22, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Gospel and song. When you know God, when you know that your sins are forgiven, you can't help but sing his praises. Well, we'll pick up at verse 24 tomorrow, but for today that's it. Have a wonderful day.